because I'm sure it would have a very wide array of connotations. That's the issue, because for some people, family is a very pleasant term and a pleasant concept and a pleasant experience, and it's been a place of comfort and encouragement. And for other people, family is a nightmare. It's fractured, it's separated, it's a place of harm or distrust. And families can be, you know, broad and wide, and others very isolating. So we just want to recognize when we hear the word family, if it's a pleasant experience for you, doesn't mean it's a pleasant experience for everybody else around you. And so, again, it's one of those terms that's so loaded. And I just want to recognize that before talking about this word family over again, and particularly looking through the lens of the Bible as to how God wants us to experience his family. And the danger is for us not to use our own natural experience or the world's view or stereotype of what a good family is, because it really pales in comparison to the things that God wants us to experience. So just a question, there's two questions I'm going to ask you to share. So if there's two or three people, you could just give me a minute to go and get a glass of water. And while I'm gone, if you could just discuss what's different from what you know and experience of what God's family is about to what our typical society view of family is like. Is that okay? So I'll just give you a couple of minutes if you could just discuss that briefly. So just wondering if I could just get a little bit of feedback, just some key words or phrases when you think about what's different between God's concept of family and our societies. Sam?
Patience.
No. Yep. There's a lot of impatience in our families and a lot of patience in God's, we hope. Yeah. What else? What's different?
Love.
God is the center of the family, not us. Good perspective. Yep.
Everyone's welcome
to God's family. Yep. Yeah, so I wanted to just look at what is it that makes God's family. The thing that I really want all of you to take away this morning, more than anything that I share, is just the fact that you were created by God and you were created to be part of his family. God made you individually, uniquely. You're not some cosmic sludge that's turned into a human being over time and millennium. You were chosen by God, created. And because of his love, God had already decided to make us his own children through Jesus Christ. That's what he wanted, and that's what gave him great pleasure. Just trying to look at a couple of images just to capture what's God's family, because you've got that picture of the church, and that's kind of nice, but we are trying to shift our mindset to think church isn't something that happens inside these four walls. So, but it is centered around Jesus and around the cross, and God's family is also around the world, as Brian kind of alluded to. We are part of a much, much bigger family than just what we experience here at Overflow. So what I want to go through in the next 20 minutes is just a number of questions. Why did God invent family? What's the purpose? How does Jesus want us to see God's family? What's special about the way God does family? I want to pause at a point and just give you time to think about how have women helped you in your experience of God's family along the way? Who gets into God's family? And how? And finally, and most importantly, how can we grow together as God's family? So I've got a heap of Bible verses. If you can read the Bible verses as a priority over anything I've got to say, because I really want the truth of God's word to give you this, to save a family through God's lens and his perspective. But why did God create family? It's a great invention, and he creates human families for a number of different reasons. And I'm no sociologist, so I'm just kind of throwing out a few obvious ones that God creates family so that we have an environment where people can grow physically, emotionally, and spiritually, and they can mature. Families are there to function well through shared values. There's unity in family, and there's roles and responsibilities that make families function well. Family is a really important one, and families are designed to provide security for all involved in the family. And that's why that, you know, covenantal trust and agreement through marriage and commitment to each other is so powerful beyond our own needs or beyond our feelings and our individual wants and needs. God wants families committed to each other and to enjoy the security that comes with that. Families are a great way that God uses to steward his resources so that we can share them, use them so that everyone can enjoy life and prosper in life. And then, you know, inheritance, it's a great concept, family, for stewarding resources. And families are also designed to grow. Don't need to talk about the birds and the bees, but we do get to grow as family, and we also get to grow deeper as family, and we get to reproduce, and we have grandchildren and generations. So family is a really useful thing that helps our society to function well. But more so than that, how does Jesus want us to see and experience God's family? From an early age, Jesus identified with his heavenly Father. You know, there's that story where he went missing for a few days, which would be super annoying. And his parents finally caught up with him and said, "What are you doing, mate?" And he says, "Don't you know I must be in my Father's house?" And I just wonder what Joseph thought about that. But Jesus identified as God, as his Father. And complementary to that, God publicly identified Jesus as his beloved son in front of other people. At his baptism, the Father said out loud in front of people, which must have been some experience, "This is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy." And then it happened again in the Gospel of Matthew on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus went away with a few of his buddies and had this incredible experience with Moses and Elijah. And even then, again, the disciples heard the Father say, "This is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy. Have a listen to him." Jesus also taught people to pray and to relate to God first and foremost as Father. Our Father in heaven. That's the posture. That's the primary thing that he wants us in our prayer life, to recognize God as Father more than anything. There are no cousins or grandchildren in God's family. There's no in-laws. Everyone is either his sister or his brother. And this would have been a bit of a challenge for the Jews in the time of Jesus, who kind of clung to their rights as descendants of Abraham, the father of faith. And Jesus changed all that. And as Paul says in Galatians, we are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. All of us who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. There's no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Jesus, you are true children of Abraham. You are his heirs. And God's promises that he gave to Abraham now belong to you. Jesus also elevated the importance of his spiritual family, which would have been, again, confronting in the day where family was really high value in the society in which he lived on earth. And when he was meeting with his followers, we read in Matthew 12, while he was still talking to the crowds, it happened that his mothers and brothers were outside whatever building he was in, asking to speak to him, and someone said, "Oi, Jesus, Your mother and brothers are outside and they want to have a chat. But Jesus replied and told, who's my mother? Who are my brothers? Which would have sounded really disrespectful, I suppose. And stretching out his hand towards his disciples and all the followers, and as he stretches out his hands and says that to us here today, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father who's in heaven by believing me and following me is my brother and sister and mother. And even more, Jesus considers us, his church, to be his bride. You don't get any more closer in family than husband and wife. For husbands, and is Paul speaking in Ephesians, husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her. Christ cares for the church. We are considered his bride. Jesus had a beautiful perspective on family, and he wants us to have a similar one. I just want to show a 3-minute video now from a bloke called Bill Johnson, who just says it so much more eloquently and quickly about just how significant family is in the overall kingdom of God. So I'll get you to play that for us. Thanks, Jesse.
A number of years ago, I saw something that seemed to elude me for a lifetime, and that was that whenever God talked about the kingdom of God, he was talking about family. The Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer, is really the disciples' prayer, says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It ends with, For thine is the kingdom. Our Father has a kingdom. Anytime we leave the subject of family, we've left the subject of kingdom, because the kingdom of God is a relational community. It's a group of people that learn to live under the dominion of God. And inside this kingdom is bigger than the outside, which sounds contradictory, but you have to remember this kingdom is the kingdom where you live by dying, you receive by giving, you're exalted by going low. And in the same way, there's more room inside than there is outside. And when we understand that this is a family of believers, it's a family component, then we are able to much more resist the temptation to make it a corporation. Church is a business. Church is an institution, a corporation. It's so much bigger than that. It's family. And the people in this tribe, in this family, deserve to be treated as sons, daughters, as mothers, fathers. And in that context, there's the honor where everyone gets to succeed, everyone gets to thrive. When it's an institution, the opposite happens. The powerful become more powerful. The weak become weaker. And that's just not the heart of God. The heart of God is for every single person to be celebrated, to be valued, to be empowered, to be enabled, to be loved, to be cared for, to be honored, to be recognized for who they are, what God's doing in them. That's what a family does. In a family, you don't have one child sitting off in the room while everyone enjoys Christmas. You spend that time together because that's what family does. Family includes everyone. Family celebrates everyone. And that's really the nature of this kingdom. This kingdom is a kingdom of honor. And in the culture of honor, you celebrate who a person is without stumbling over who they're not. And just like a natural family, every person in the house is celebrated. So it must be in the kingdom of God. So it must be in church life that we celebrate and honor the diversity that God gives us in such a wide variety of people. And this is our privilege. The kingdom of God is a family.
So I just want to talk on what's significant about God's way of doing family. And again, like Jesus, first and foremost, God wants us all to have our identity as his children. Beyond what we do, who our natural family is, where we live, our experience with God, he wants us just to rest in the knowledge and the confidence and the privilege of being daughters and sons. As we read in Romans 8, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. You haven't received a spirit that makes us fearful slaves of God. Instead, we receive God's Spirit when he adopted us as his own children, and we get to call him Dad. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm and remind us that we are God's children. As Brian shared this morning, God's family shares life's challenges and celebrations. We don't have to do life alone. And it's really important that we make ourselves vulnerable to share our needs, because he wants us to experience family in the hard times, in the difficult times. And he wants us to celebrate and share, and not compare and go, oh, that person's doing better than I am. We get to celebrate each other as family, and we get to do the challenges of life together as family. And the good news is that God's family isn't temporary. It's not for as long as we're alive here on earth. It is forever. We're going to be family, whether we like it or not, forever. Mind you, we are all going to be a much better version of ourselves come the other side of Jesus' return. So that's good news. But we're in it together. And as Bill said, God's family itself is to be celebrated. Every member of the family is to be honoured. Every one of you are equally important and valued, whether you've been here for 5 minutes or you've been here for 25 years. We honour you. We celebrate you. We thank you. We love you. As we read these two passages, recognize the value of every person and continually show love to every believer. That's how we live our lives, with great reverence and in holy awe of God. And look after your leaders, I think that says something. And then the other verse, be devoted to tenderly loving your fellow believers as members of one family. And the challenge is to try to outdo yourself in respect and honour of one another. And on that note, I just want you to just take a minute and just consider, on this day, we really want to celebrate and honour all the women in our church. How have women helped your experience in God's family? How have women helped you in your relationship following Jesus? So can I just give you a minute just to share, reflect, enjoy, celebrate the women who God has placed in your life that have blessed you in his family? I'll just give you a minute to share that. Thank you. Again, we don't have time to go around the room and to appreciate all of the women that God's blessed us with. I do want to invite Brian to just pray a blessing over the women in our church. And yeah, for me, I just really want to acknowledge probably my grandmother, who was a pastor's wife and who raised my father to become a pastor, and my mother, who was a pastor as well and had a lot of battles in leadership and being recognised in her church denomination. It certainly helped me, set me up for my working relationship with Chris. Not only did I have a value for women in leadership, she also had exactly the same Myers-Briggs personality, which was helpful. I want to acknowledge, all of the women in this room, and I particularly acknowledge the women who have sacrificed and served in leadership, and there's a lot of you here, so I won't call out names, but so blessed by so many women, so encouraged, and just love that this house is a place where women can really come to life in God's family. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Brian.
This is what I believe the Lord gave me for the Mother's Day prayer and declaration. If there's one thing I could pass on, is how God sees you. I'll probably get emotional through this, because God reveals his heart to me when I write things like this. And from our youngest, Abigail, to our older ones, God just has such a passion for the females of this church. And this is what I believe he called it: to my most powerful and amazing mothers and females of all ages at Overflow Church, I decree that as you wake and rise each morning, the enemy will say, oh no, that powerful women are overflow church are up again. I, your Heavenly Father, my love for you is an eternal love. I will never leave you or forsake you. I share with you in your joy and I share with you in your sorrow. And Psalm 100 teaches us, for the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever and his faithfulness continues to each generation. Today, as we honour our mothers, we understand that it can be a hard day for some of us. But the Lord, you are always good. Jesus, when our mums need your wisdom to navigate life challenges, we agree with your promise in James 1:5. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for you asking. As we journey through life, we can always help. We can't always help what happens to us, but we can help what happens in us. Thank you, Lord, for your empowering grace to help us in our partnership with you, Lord. Lord, you empower us with humility. As Proverbs 11 says, teaches us that pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. In Philippians 4 we read, rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Lord Jesus, we declare that Overflow Church will be a place of long and happy marriages. We ask for joyful homes filled with your love and your peace. Jesus, we thank you for our mums and for the mothering heart here at Overflow. We thank you for our families and our children. Holy Spirit, we ask you to impart revelation and compassion when needed. Father God, thank you that you love us unconditionally and you are the Father to the fatherless. Psalm 68 teaches us, you are our protector. And Psalm 121, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the master of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He watches over you and he will not slumber. So, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brian. So I'm conscious of morning tea time, so just want to continue through the finish of this message. Just really want to invite us in, how do we grow as God's family? Just acknowledging that point of honour that God's family is intergenerational to the core. We want to really celebrate our youngest to our eldest. And, you know, we're encouraged that in God's word, just the way that we want to treat each other well, lovingly, and with great honour. And what's more, God's family is across the globe, in every culture and language. And in Revelation 7, we are given a picture of the end times when Jesus returns and is Lord of all, and there's going to be an incredibly large crowd of people from every nation, every tribe, every people, every language that'll be standing in front of him. The family of Jesus is all over the joint. And living as family is one of the ways that we show what God's love looks like. So let's do it well, shall we? Be imitators of God in everything you do, for then you will represent your Father as his beloved sons and daughters. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples, when they see the love you have for each other. It is so important that we do family well here for the benefit of other people. So who gets into God's family? As many people as possible. That's the whole reason Jesus came to earth. He came so people could know the Father and could understand what being a son and a daughter looks like. God doesn't want anyone to miss out. And that famous passage in John 3:16-17, the key word there, son, son. God wants us to come into relationship with him as children through his son. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him won't perish but will have eternal life with him. God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Amen. And how do we get into God's family? We're born into God's family. And again, it's not through the Abraham's family line. Jesus was asked this by Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You have to be born again. It's not some related to some particular denomination. It's every Christian is born again. Jesus said, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. Don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. If you want to help people come into a full relationship with God, invite them to welcome the Holy Spirit into their life for transformation. We had the hope cards at the in February, and so encouraging to hear so many things. And family just came up again and again and again as people's hopes for overflow and what they sense God hoping for overflow. Just a few of these. Our church family is really, my hope is that our church family really gets to know each other. I sense that God hopes for unity, family, reconciliation. I sense that God hopes for family, unity, welcoming, inclusion, togetherness. My hope is that overflow is a place of belonging for all age groups. My hope for overflow is a continual openness to heart and spirit to all who visit, and make this a spiritual home to anyone and everyone. Amen. So there's some things that we're looking to do. We shared this last week. If you haven't heard the last couple of messages, I encourage you to go onto our website and enjoy just a full understanding of what we're going to be focusing on this year. But this term, we really want to focus on growing as a spirit-filled family. We really want to develop ministries, create opportunities across all ages so people can experience family. And we want to encourage people to be more connected. So these are some of the topics that we're going to be enjoying over the coming weeks. So just, yeah, being here, having a unified understanding of family, having language and experience, but just being here really helps. And John next week's going to talk about that identity of family, which is so valuable. And we're also looking to seek God on how do we develop every age-related age group and activities that can help people connect into our family who aren't yet part of our church family, and for those who are to become more deeply connected. So if you can be praying as our leaders, tomorrow night we've got a leaders meeting. We're going to start to look at, well, how do we go about the praying and the planning to seek God on each of those areas, and then how do we create intergenerational connection against the age groups. And we also want people to encourage, so the things that you can do to grow as family. You know, we're trying to do some stuff that helps facilitate it. It's up to each individual as to what you're willing to do. And again, we just love you and want the best experience of church, and that's going to come. Six things to start with. Pray for your church family, pray for yourself, pray that God just does a work this term, particularly just to cultivate a heart where it's just a beautiful environment where people just genuinely love each other, to learn, to enjoy those teachings, and to grow, to see family and other people the way God sees us, to participate when there's events on, activities, just come along, whether it's something that you really want to do or not, turn up. Welcome people to God's family. If there's people you don't know, get to know them. If new people come along, welcome them, invite them in. That's what Jesus would do if he was here. Connect. Get involved. We're going to have connect groups later this term and the next term. Other ministry groups, opportunities to serve. There's different ways that we'll give you to connect in. And again, pray. When pray, things change and we change in the process. So I just want to bless you with every opportunity And the final, just the warning, just when you pray, you know, the reality is that there is an enemy of God. He hates family. He hates everything to do with family. He wants to destroy earthly families and especially the God's family. So be praying against the enemy who is the enemy. We think of people being the enemy, but they're not. There's someone working in them and through them, and that's who we pray against and war against. So can I invite you, maybe just if there's someone nearby you, just to pray, just for a minute, for our family, anything that you've gone to be encouraged by or challenged by here today. If you don't feel comfortable praying with someone else, if you just put your head down and close your eyes, that'll make it obvious, and enjoy prayer. We don't want to make this a pressure thing, but we do want to be family wherever we can. So just whatever way you feel comfortable, just pray. Pray for us. And I'll just give you a minute to pray and then I'll invite Brian to wrap things up. So thanks for listening today. I pray you have an anticipation of an experience of family that's going to be richer than ever before in these coming weeks and months and years. Thanks for being here.